this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Honorton County.
Honorton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Honorton is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Honorton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Honorton, the voice for mental health in Honorton County.
The news is sponsored by the Honorton Medical Center. Honorton Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Honorton Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Honorton Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
The head of the Republican Party apparently fed up with Donald Trump's complaining. Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus saying in a tweet that the party's nomination process has been known for more than a year, and it's the responsibility of campaigns to understand it. He tweets, "Complaints now? Give us all a break." This in reaction to Donald Trump's comments about the nomination process in Colorado. Meantime, Paul Ryan, the House chair, saying, "No, I don't want to be president."
House Speaker Paul Ryan told reporters he would refuse any nomination for president if it was offered and told party delegates what he thinks they should do at the party convention.
"The Rules Committee, which is assembled by the delegates, will decide what the rules are. But I would encourage those delegates to put in place a rule that says you can only nominate someone who actually ran for the job."
Ryan added, while he once said he wouldn't run for House Speaker, the difference between running for House Speaker and president is like apples and oranges.
Senior correspondent Jason Wirt reporting, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Rusty Humphreys. You know, we Americans, we're more health conscious than ever before. We're trying to increase the amount of exercise we get, reduce our weight, and to reduce our blood pressure. Now, if you're one of millions of Americans trying to reduce your blood pressure, there's a great new way to help you do it. It's called the Zona Plus, and it can help you lower your blood pressure using isometric therapy. Now, the science behind the Zona Plus, it was discovered while doing research with the Air Force, and you can check it all out at ZonaPlus.com. Hunter.com. 22 clinical studies have shown that regular use can result in an average decrease of 10% or more in systolic and diastolic blood pressure. Plus, it's safe. It's completely drug-free and easy to use. Call 877-494-1616. Lower your blood pressure the safe and natural way. Zona Plus, 877-494-1616. Find out about our money-back guarantee, too. 877-494-1616, ZonaPlus.com.
The Zika virus not only leading to health issues with babies.
There's also some things that we're seeing in adults, such as Guillain-Barré, which is a paralysis syndrome, and now another disease that's very similar to multiple sclerosis, all being associated with Zika infection. Mm-hmm.
That is medical expert Dr. Kevin Campbell on Fox, reminding people that Zika can be sexually transmitted. Top health officials expressing heightened concern about the Zika threat in the United States. The mosquitoes that spread the virus now present in about 30 states, but Campbell says Zika has not yet been found in those insects. Walmart, Missouri, and other gun sellers facing a lawsuit accusing them of letting a felon buy a gun used in a 2014 shooting spree targeting Jewish sites. Fraser Glenn Cross killed three people at a Jewish community center and a retirement home in Kansas. A neo-Nazi and former Ku Klux Klan member, Cross said he shot the victims because he thought they were Jewish. None of them were. This is USA Radio News. Get more news at usaradio.com.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
The debate on Thursday won't feature names like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz or Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, USA Radio's Chris Barnes reports.
Sarah Palin set to square off in a debate about climate change with Bill Nye, the science guy. Reports are Palin has signed on to take part in this event on Thursday to promote the anti-global warming documentary Climate Hustle. Palin tells Variety it's an issue that she's very passionate about. The film, scheduled to be shown in nearly 400 theaters beginning early next month. Palin and Nye are set to be on an invitation-only panel in Washington, D.C. that's going to follow an early screening of that movie. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
That prepackaged salad in your fridge might be contaminated by Listeria, USA Radio's Anthony Lucero reports.
Prepackaged salads are being taken off the shelves in nearly 30 states due to a possible health risk. Reese's Fine Foods recently recalled 19 of its refrigerated items, including potato salad, macaroni salad, and tuna salad, due to a possible Listeria contamination. Affected products were marked with a number 10 next to the use-by dates. Symptoms of an infection include fever, muscle aches, nausea, stiffness, and loss of balance.
An Australian man's down 70 pounds thanks to an all-potato diet. His name is Andrew Taylor. He promised at the beginning of the year to eat nothing but white and sweet potatoes. He's already seeing health benefits 100 days in. This is USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
The weather for Hunterdon County. Currently it is 49 degrees. We are expecting a sunny day with a high near 58. Tonight will be patchy frost after 3 a.m., otherwise mostly clear, low around 34. Thursday morning will be also patchy frost before 7 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 60. Thursday night mostly clear with a low around 32. Friday sunny with a high near 61. And then Saturday, sunny with a high near 64, and Sunday also sunny with a high near 73. It looks like we have an absolutely gorgeous weekend ahead of us. I am so excited. And it is currently 12:09.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirroll, your host for today's program. I'm also a licensed professional counselor. I have a private practice here in Flemington. And my show topic today is about addiction. Is it really a disease? Now, many, many of us, almost all of us, know someone or know of someone who is either in recovery or actually struggling with an addiction. And oftentimes we think of addiction as, well, unfortunately, still in this day and age, that someone just is weak, that they have no self-will, no willpower. If they could just stop, I don't understand why they don't stop. Can't they see the damage they're doing to their lives and to their families? Shame on them. They're just bad people. They're just criminals. They should all be put in prison. Why in the world then would we call it a disease when it breaks up families and it robs liquor stores and gas stations and convenience stores, and when people are stealing your money from your purse and robbing your house? And how in the world can you call that a disease? This is all criminal activity. Not to mention the buying and selling of drugs, criminal activity. Now, I will say this. A percentage of people who sell drugs are also addicted to them, and that's how they supply their habit. However, many people do sell drugs who are either in recovery, in other words, they've stopped using, or never use at all. And I do believe that having the criminal element of addiction is important. It gets many people into recovery. But I digress. Addiction as a disease. Why in the world would we call it that when we look at all of this behavior and wreckage that it leaves behind? Cancer doesn't do this. Diabetes doesn't do this. Lupus doesn't do this. Parkinson's doesn't do this. What in the world? Why would in the world would we say that addiction is a disease? Well, first of all, it follows the American Medical Association's definition of a disease. It's chronic. That means once you have it, you always have it. It's progressive. That means it gets worse over time. And it's fatal. Untreated, it kills you. And we live in such a society that is so filled with denial. And denial is an aspect, it is a symptom of the disease of addiction, that we don't even want to call it a disease. Denial is one of the characteristic symptoms of the disease of addiction, meaning we don't even want to call it a disease. We are in denial. The other thing is, because this is such a complicated disease, it is a disease of the brain. Our brain, it controls everything we do, everything we think, everything we feel, every aspect of our being, down to the breathing and our stomach working, everything. We take these chemicals, they alter our moods, they affect our judgment, they affect our behavior. And they're addictive, meaning we build up a tolerance, we have cravings, we use more. More's not enough because we're building up a tolerance, cravings, withdrawal symptoms. Becomes a cycle. Don't want to get sick, so I use. So people even use so they no longer get sick. They're not even using to get high. They just use to get sick. I don't want to have the DT, so I'm going to have a shot of bourbon in my coffee in the morning. It's a disease of the brain. The craving is so strong and so intense that the ability to control the craving is lost. I am sure many of us have gone, oh, look, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, man, I'd love to get a donut. And we just go by. We don't pull in. We don't pull into every Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's or that we see. We just don't. Even though it's like, oh man, that sounds kind of good. I pass the fudge shop every day. Hunterdon County Fudge Shop, best in New Jersey. Pass it every day. I don't stop there every day to get chocolate. But don't you think it crosses my mind, man, it would be kind of neat to just stop by there and pick something up, some chocolate-covered strawberry. You know what? I don't do it. My craving is not that strong. The other thing is addiction actually changes our brain. It changes the way it functions. And addiction, though it is tough to do, can be arrested. Now, I talk about it as being arrested. It's not curable. Diseases are not curable. For the most part, they're arrested. We can be cancer-free. We can be cancer-free for 20 years, 30 years. We can be cancer-free. We can be cancer-free for the rest of our lives. But don't you think that we're going to keep a check on it? Diabetes. I can have it under control. I'm taking my medication. I'm eating healthy. As a matter of fact, I might not even need medication. I'm monitoring my weight. I'm exercising. I'm eating healthy. My blood sugar tests normal. If I go off the routine, if I gain 20 pounds, if I eat sugar, many, many diseases are treatable. Some are not. Some just continually to progress and get worse. And we can slow down the process. But it's still a disease, none the same. Nearly 23 million Americans, almost one out of every 10 people, are addicted to alcohol or some other drug. And more than two-thirds of the people in the United States with addictions abuse alcohol. Then the top three drugs causing addiction are, all right, hold your breath, marijuana, opiates, narcotics, pain relievers, that kind of thing, cocaine, and of course alcohol. These things alter our mood. I wanted to take a Tylenol because I had a headache, I was in pain, or I take an Aleve because I have a backache, or I take an aspirin because I have a headache and a fever. These things do not alter my mood. They don't alter my mood. They don't make me happy, sad. They don't make me emotionally numb. these other drugs? Gee, I don't know. All of a sudden, my stomach doesn't hurt anymore after smoking pot. Well, because it's altered my mood. It does numb. Heroin numbs. Morphine? Morphine numbs? I don't know anyone who's addicted to Aleve or addicted to Tylenol. So I'm going to take a little commercial break. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about addiction and that it is actually a real bona fide disease. I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, licensed professional counselor and your host for Counselor's Chat.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I'm talking about addiction, that it is a disease. Even though we're in denial, and a lot of people say it's not, the reality is it is. When I was getting my master's degree back in the late 80s, early 90s, I had the good fortune to work my way basically through graduate school as a graduate assistant. And my job was to produce a television program called Quest. So, you know, doing a radio show, this is not something that I could say is quite out of the realm. I always have had some kind of dabbling in this kind of thing. Anyway, be that as it may, the host of the show said to me, "The last thing that I want to do," this is the late 80s, "is talk about addiction. Do not ever," he said, "put anyone on my program that's going to talk about addiction." He said, "It's like beating a dead horse. The addiction problem is over." That's what he said. Well, I think we know otherwise. It's not over. It's like saying the problem with cancer is over. It's like saying the problem with tuberculosis is over. You know, when I was younger, maybe only 15 years ago younger, who ever thought of tuberculosis anymore? Well, we have open borders, we've got people coming in with all kinds of diseases, and now tuberculosis is on the rise. We have not eradicated the disease. We know how, we just haven't. The same thing with things like chickenpox. Oh, or measles. We know that we can get vaccines, but not everyone does, and it's still around. In the world, though, somewhere somebody today has the mumps, or has chickenpox, or has measles. We haven't eradicated the disease. We've controlled it. So, periodically, I do talk about the fact that addiction is a disease, and with our technology, We just don't look at the way someone is drinking and using drugs and look at their behavior associated with it and go, oh, this person must be an alcoholic or an addict of some sort. We are really looking at the brain. The brain's functioning. We are taking CAT scans. We are looking at the brain. We know that the brain registers all pleasure in exactly the same way. Whether it is a drug, a monetary reward, sexual encounter, satisfying meal, gambling, beautiful day, getting your paycheck. In the brain, pleasure has a distinct signature. We know this. It lights up. You give someone the lollipop and it lights up. It is a release of the neurotransmitter dopamine. We've all heard of dopamine. It is released in the nucleus accumbens in the brain. It is a cluster of nerves that are sort of right there in the center of our brain. It's underneath our frontal lobes. It is in the center of our brain. Like if you think of our brain in three ways, we've got the frontal lobes. We have the outer part, okay? That's the cerebral cortex. That's our logic. That's where we do all of the logical thinking. Well, that doesn't make sense. Logic, okay? It covers the other area of our brain, which is in the center, the nucleus accumbens, the amygdala, the hippocampus. These areas here generate emotion, mood. Okay, mood. I'm in a good mood. I'm happy today. I'm in a bad mood. I'm feeling depressed. Okay, our mood. And then the very back of our brain, sort of closer towards the back of our head, the spinal column, that area is the area that controls our stomach working, our lungs, our heart, basic body functions. So, this area where our feelings are generated, dopamine is released when there is something that we do that is pleasurable. The neurotransmitters are chemicals that talk from one cell to the other cell. It transmits from one neuron to the other neuron. Small little electric impulses push the chemicals back and forth, and they fit like keys, like a key going from the one neurotransmitter that produced it into the next one and creates a mood. One of the things that happens from nicotine to heroin, it causes a powerful surge of dopamine in the brain. It is the type of thing where it feels like a reward for an activity. And it can eventually lead to addiction because of its promotion of a dopamine, a huge dopamine release. It's intense. And we know every time we use this drug, it's going to get released. It's going to give us pleasure. Now, I'm going to take a little aside because alcohol is a little bit different in that it is called a depressant. And what that means is that it doesn't make you cry in your beer, quote unquote. It doesn't make you sad, but it turns off the systems in your brain. So even with one drink, okay, your judgment is impaired, your spatial judgment, your motor skills, which is why drinking and driving, all of these things do the same thing. To some extent, but alcohol is a depressant. It's like I tell my clients that think of an electric panel in your house We all have one, and they got the little switches, and it's turning switches off to the point where you can have so much alcohol that you kill yourself. But any drug, you can overdose, okay? You shut your brain down is what you're doing. You're shutting your brain down until, gee, we have something called a blackout. All the way to death. You see, this is a brain disease. It's not affecting our elbow or our joint, our hip joint. Not that we can't have effects in our stomach and our esophagus. I mean, these things, or our lungs, these things are affected by the use of drugs and alcohol. I mean, we all know that smoking cigarettes can cause lung cancer. We know these things. We know that you can get cancer of the mouth from smoking, or cancer of the stomach, or colon, the same thing with alcohol. Pancreatitis from alcohol. Those are in some ways almost side effects. The reality is that it is a brain disease. The brain is affected. Part of what happens is that we begin to deplete our brain of the production of dopamine. So we need more drugs to flood our nucleus accumbens with more dopamine. So it becomes a cycle. And once the addiction switch is switched on, it doesn't go off. AA has a fantastic statement. Once a cucumber becomes a pickle, it can never become a cucumber again. And this is true. And yesterday I was watching something, and someone was saying, you know, you can never, after you cook an egg, you can never uncook it. Yeah, it's the same thing. And so part of what happens is we are also teaching ourselves about a process of pleasure. So dopamine not only contributes to the experience of pleasure, it also, as we are learning, plays a role in learning and memory. So there's two key elements now, the transition from liking something to becoming addicted to it. As I was saying, there's a switch. According to some recent studies about addiction, we're beginning to learn that dopamine also interacts with other neurotransmitters, like glutamate. And it takes over the brain system of reward, which is also related to learning. I get a good grade, I get a reward, I get an A. I do well, I work hard, I get a raise, a reward system. And this reward system has an important role in sustaining life because it links activities needed for human survival, such as eating and sex, with pleasure and reward. The reward circuits in the brain include areas involved with motivation and memory, as well as with pleasure. Addictive substances and behavior stimulate the same circuits, and then it overloads. Of course, the more we do this, the repeated exposure to any addictive substance or behavior causes nerve cells in the brain to communicate in a way that couples with liking something, with wanting something, it turns it into a drive for us to go after it. That is, it's the process that motivates us to take action to seek out the source of pleasure. And behavior. I say behavior. What do I mean by behavior? Well, we have eating addictions, sex addictions, gambling addictions, video game addictions. it's not just chemicals that alter our mood. How many sit mindlessly in front of the TV and eat bags of chips? I didn't even realize I ate a whole bag. And over time, the brain adapts to this way of working. So you continue to seek the substance or the activity, and you try and seek more of it because it gets less pleasurable over time. And so to reach the same amount of pleasure, I need more. It is something that our body does naturally, our brain does naturally. We get into a swimming pool. It's cold. We don't get out of it right away. The water doesn't change. We adapt to it. But if I really want cold water, I have to go and seek out colder water because I've adapted to it. We adapt. We build a tolerance. In nature, rewards usually come only with time and effort. Non-instantaneous. We are continuously removing ourselves from nature. You know, our kids don't even know where our food comes from other than the grocery store. There's no connection that chicken comes from the animal or eggs come from a chicken, or that your hamburger comes from a cow. No clue. We've removed ourselves from nature. Or that apples are grown on a tree. We removed ourselves from nature. On average, the American child spends 1 hour a day outside. 1 hour outside. We stay inside with our games, our TVs, our books, and we don't go out. We don't go outside. We do not participate in nature. And we want instantaneous. My gosh, I don't even have to push the buttons on the plastic rubbery buttons on my remote control anymore. I could just say, change the channel, find a thriller movie. Same thing with my car. I could tell it what I want the temperature to do, or this, how the seat to change, or we can keep moving, removing ourselves. It makes changes in the brain. And we forget that in nature, rewards come from time and effort. Addictive drugs and behaviors provide instantaneous. It's a shortcut. It's a flood in the brain of dopamine and other neurotransmitters. Our brains are not built to withstand this onslaught. And addictive drugs can release 2 to 10 times the amount of dopamine than a natural reward will do. Such as, I don't know, planting a vegetable garden and harvesting your first tomato. How long does that take? 2 months? 3 months? I can't wait. Sure, we can wait. You know, that's one of the things that we have to teach people who are in recovery, how to wait, how to be uncomfortable. Can you believe that? Instant rewards. So the brain receptors are overwhelmed. Do you hear how this is a disease? Do you hear it? We are talking about actual changes in the brain. I go to the doctor, I get blood work done, there are actual changes in my thyroid making that I have to take medication for a thyroid issue, or diabetes, I have to take medication or change my lifestyle. They're actual changes that take place in a particular organ in my body, and this is what I want to let you know about addiction. It is a real bona fide disease. So our brain adapts. It adapts to this flood of drugs. It either actually produces more dopamine, or after a while, it begins to break down. And we require more and more. And as a result, the dopamine has less impact on the brain's reward center. And that's exactly what happens to addicts. In time, the desired substance no longer gives them the same initial high. So they have to take more. And they have to take more. And that tolerance builds up. And it turns into a compulsion. It's the wanting that persists. And it's almost as if the normal function of motivation in our brain stops working. We become super focused. And the craving not only contributes to the addiction, but also to the relapse. So I'm going to take another little commercial break, and I will be back. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program, Counselor's Chat.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, and I'm talking about addiction being a disease, that it really is a disease. It is not a behavior. It is an actual disease. Now, you might say, what gives me the right to talk about it? Well, my master's degree is in counseling with a special certification dealing with chemical addiction and alcoholism. So I have a certificate from the College of New Jersey Trenton State back then. I worked at the Good News Home here in Flemington for a number of years, even before it got started, actually. I worked at Crawford House, which is a halfway house for women recovering from drug and alcohol addiction. I was their program director, eventually became their executive director. So I've had a lot of experience and a lot of education in the field of addiction. And I still treat people who are in recovery, helping people get into rehabs and encouraging treatment. Because recovery is possible. It's not just enough to say no. It isn't. That's great. Our brain is already now set up with this disease of addiction. But what we can do is work on choosing recovery. So one of the things that I notice, which confounds me, is that people don't want to go to AA because of the quote-unquote God thing. So I believe that this is part of the addictive brain thinking. Why do I say that? I don't know. If I had to choose believing in God versus dying with a needle in my arm, I think I would choose believing God. Now, I say this. If dead is dead, and I choose to believe in God, and when I die, I'm dead, I'm not going to know if there's a God or not a God. So what difference does it make if what believing in God has caused health and recovery and satisfaction in life and hope and encouragement and empowerment and purpose? Do you know our brain is actually wired for prayer and meditation? Very interesting. Again, looking at brain scans, looking at how our brain lights up when we do particular things. So we're wired. You know, it's funny, I say to people, they go, really? Wow, never thought of it. You know, wine and spirits on the storefront. You know, wine and spirits. Spirits. Really? We call alcohol spirits. Very interesting, I think. Because it alters our mood. The thing about addiction is it does affect our spiritual life. As it said in AA, self-centered to the extreme. It's all about me and my drug. That's it. I don't care about anybody. As a matter of fact, I don't even care about me. It's just my drug. Getting it, using it, feeling better. Getting it, using it, feeling better. But treatment exists. And I even say this because AA will talk about a higher power. All right, you don't need to believe in God. How about this? You walk into a room and there's 20 people that are working on recovery. Some of them have been doing this 15, 20 years, maybe even longer. And we look at these people like, oh, tug of war. You've got me on one side with my needle in my arm, and you've got all these 20 people on the other side of the rope who've got recovery. Which side is going to be stronger? I will let the group be my higher power. I will let my sponsor be my higher power. Statistically speaking, therapy and AA combined work much better than just AA. And AA and counseling work much better together than just counseling. We are talking about a brain dysfunction that encourages cravings. So if I see my therapist 1 hour a week, I need the support. I say this to people. Think about AA in terms of a building or a room. You have a main beam that holds up the ceiling. That's your sponsor. You're the ceiling. You got the main beam. It's supporting the ceiling, but it's not enough. You also need the four walls. So that means you get your sponsor and you get four other people to support you in your recovery. And it's going to give you a good, strong, solid recovery support system. Now, quite often what happens is people in recovery, they need to learn how to tolerate pain, discomfort, waiting. There's grieving. There's learning how to cope with life's situations. I mean, life doesn't change. I might get sober, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to have a car accident. What do I do? How do I handle it? What happens if my wallet gets stolen? I don't know. I used to drink. I used to get high. I don't know what to do. So it's learning how to do that. It's learning basic life skills. When I worked at Crawford House, one of the things that we did is we taught people how to do things like wash laundry, cook meals, go grocery shopping, pay bills, create a budget. Basic life skills. Lost or never learned. There is hope. There is hope. So go to an AA meeting. Recognize that it is your disease that's saying to you, oh, don't believe in God. What are you kidding me? Keep using. What are you, stupid to believe in God? Come on, keep using. Think about that. And all right, your higher power doesn't have to be a God from a religion. It could be the universe. The universe is a lot more powerful than I am. It could be the group. It could be nature, the ocean, the stars, whatever you want. The majority of people in AA do say God, but that doesn't mean all of them. And out of every single thing that we have out there to promote recovery, AA has been around the longest, and it is the strongest, and it works the best. We have rational recovery. It's kind of floundering. I'm going to tell you why. Let's think about the brain again. The logic. Okay. The outer lobes. The cerebral cortex. If I am going to use logic to work on healing the nucleus accumbens, okay, the emotional center, and the amygdala, the emotional center, it doesn't work. Now, it can support, my logic can support my emotional recovery, but it does not cause it. It is part of why a spiritual connection of some sort, it is mood altering. A spiritual connection is uplifting. It is fulfilling. Again, it's hopeful. It gives us a sense of purpose. These are all moods, okay? This is all mood effective. That's where the healing takes place. Not in, I'm going to think myself sober. And then, one of the things where the cerebral cortex is important is learning new coping skills. I have a feeling, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do with it. Let me think this through. They are connected. They're not disconnected. But that's not where the healing takes place. Support. Now, there's a huge discussion about drugs and criminals and criminal behavior. And, you know, if somebody is selling heroin and people are dying, I think by all means, that's a criminal act. Even if you're supporting your own habit, it's a criminal act because other people may be dying. And a lot of people, as I said early on this show, are not using but are selling drugs. That's a criminal act. Now, there are people who are using, actively using, who will rob a liquor store, or like I said, will do some kind of criminal activity to support their habit, will be caught with paraphernalia. And they have to go to jail or prison as a consequence. I do believe that our jails and prisons need to incorporate recovery. An AA meeting on Sunday afternoon is not sufficient. It's not sufficient. Our jails and prisons need to have detoxes. They need to have treatment facilities, treatment addiction counselors, group therapy, individual therapy. This needs to be part of the process. An addict's brain is befuddled. It's befuddled. Does not think correctly. It's ill. Not healthy. Our job, my job, is about helping people who are addicted to begin to recognize that they can think differently, behave differently, and have hope in their lives. In so many ways, we are at a groundbreaking moment in addiction and recovery. We are seeing more and more that this is a disease. And people out there, if you still think it's not, you need to wake up. You are part of the problem. You are part of the problem if you think this is just behavior, weak-minded. I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone who took his first hit on a joint whose goal was to become an addict. It's not going to happen to me. Not only that, the earlier we start using, the greater chance we have of becoming an addict because our brain is still developing. Oh my gosh. I start using drugs and alcohol when I'm 12 and 13. I still have 10 more years of my brain to develop. And I'm altering it. I'm putting these chemicals in that bollocks up the whole works of my brain, the most important part of who I am. I'm glad to see that we're beginning to have doctors and hospitals think twice about prescribing opiates. Oh, and if you have an opiate constipation problem, talk to your doctor about this medication. When I saw that commercial on television, my mind exploded. What are we doing? We're going to support it. We're going to say, well, let's have other drugs to help you handle. No, how about we just not use these things? They are too dangerous. Throughout human history, we did not have these things. People are dying. Families are being ruined. The cost is incredible. And there's an answer. There's an answer. Don't use. Go to meetings. Get support. Go to a hospital. Go through detox. Recognize that the brain is not functioning well. It's not functioning well. I don't know. If my kidneys are not functioning well, I think I'm going to go to dialysis and get some treatment. Asthma, going to get treatment. Diabetes, treatment. Brain disease, treatment. So I've come to the end of my show today, and I hope it's been useful, and I hope you learned something about addiction and begin to recognize that it's not just people who are weak-minded, that it is a real disease.